All right. Romans chapter number 8. I'm just going to read verse 1 because we're going to read a lot of verses while we preach. But in verse 1, the Bible said there is therefore, what's the next word?
Now.
No condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. I want to preach if God will help me today on this subject. It's different now. It's different now. Pray with me. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to be here at Bible Way today. The precious people, Lord, I know we've got people out sick, people out with tragedy. But Lord, those that are here today, I pray will receive a blessing. I pray, God, the Word of God would just be real to us, find a lodging place in our heart. Help us, Lord, today. God will give you glory. Save that one, Lord, Father, that needs to be saved. And encourage that one that needs to be encouraged. God will give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'll call your attention to Romans chapter 7 for just a moment. And I think you'll understand. In Romans chapter 7 and verse number 24, the Apostle Paul now, he cried out, "O wretched man that I am." He's got an exclamation point right there. He said, "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And then he said in verse 25, "I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So with them with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." Romans chapter 7 talks about that struggle that's going on between the flesh and the spirit. Amen. And I got to stop and say something. I just saw somebody else that I love. Hi, Miss Barbara. Amen. Good to see you this morning, honey. You got to be a proud mamma, ain't you? Amen. Thank the Lord. Amen. That's Dustin's mamma sitting back there and his mommy sitting back there. What a blessing. Amen. But this morning I want to key in verse number, chapter number 8, verse number 1. He said, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." How many can see between chapter 7 and chapter 8, it's different now. Amen. You see, Paul had met the Lord on the road to Damascus, and God changed his life. But though his life was changed, he still knew what the struggle was between the old man and the new man. And I want to key in this morning on some things in this text that I believe will be a blessing to you. I want to read the words to this song, "It's Different Now." It says, "Once I was lost in sin, I had no peace within. To save my weary soul, I knew not how. But Jesus came to me, and by His grace I'm free. Now it's different. Oh, so different now." The chorus said, "It's different now since Jesus saved my soul. It's different now since Jesus made me whole. Old Satan had to flee when Jesus rescued me. Now it's different. Oh, so different now." Honey, if you've been to Calvary, you can relate to that. Amen. Amen. The second verse said, "Now my hopes are bright. I praise Him day and night. How He could change me so, I know not how. But praise the Lord, it's done. The victory now is won. Now it's different. It's, oh, so different now." Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, when I was 27 years old, I went to an old-fashioned altar. I went down on my knees, guilty before God, and I came up forgiven. I went down filthy and came up clean. I went down on my way to hell and came up on my way to heaven. I went down, beloved, and asked Jesus to forgive me. And I can tell you ever since then, no, I've not been perfect, but thank God Almighty, it's been different ever since that day. Amen. I want to give you some news this morning. A few of you already know it. But Thursday night, I have a grandson whose name is Sawyer. He spent the first 6 months of his life on my lap. Thursday night, he's been asking questions for a while now. And at times, there would even be tears when he would talk to his mama. But it really wasn't tears of repentance. It was tears of getting caught and getting in trouble. Amen. And I found out a long time ago, you can cry a little bit and mama will go a little easier. Amen. Amen. It don't do no good with daddy, but with mama, go a little easier. Amen. Well, Charity noticed Sawyer singing in the youth choir. They were singing a song about a sinner getting saved. And she noticed him wiping his eyes. And she didn't think nothing about it because he had been at baseball practice before the service. She thought he was just tired, Brother Wayne. Charlier came down from the choir and he said to his mama, said, Mama, said, you know, you told me whenever the Lord dealt with me, I would know it. He said, Mama, God's a-dealing with me. And she said, honey, are you sure? Are you sure that you just ain't got in trouble for something? He said, no, Mama. He said, I know I'm a sinner and I need to get saved. And she said to Sawyer, she said, Sawyer, you want to go up now, honey? They were having a jubilee meeting, a revival meeting in their church at Calvary. And he said, no, I'll wait till the end of the service. So 15 minutes into it, Charity said to him, or he said to Charity, he said to his mama, he said, Mama, he said, when's he going to get done? And about 30 minutes into it, she said to him, said, Mama, is he done yet? And anyway, at the end of the service, Sawyer came forward. It gets better than this. Yeah. Sawyer trusted the Lord. He called Papaw. He said, Papaw, Jesus saved me. And I tell you what's true. You want to know why I'm happy? Oh, listen, I'm glad my God's still in the saving business. But you know what? The next morning, listen to this, they're on their way to school. And Sawyer said to his mom, he's sitting in the back and Charity's driving. Sawyer said to his mom, said, Mom, you know what my heart is? And she said, what, Bubby? He said, it's as white as snow. I'm going to tell you something. Now listen to me. I thank God. Brother David, I'm trying to be quiet. You know what I mean? Until Mom and Dad can be here. But it's hard to be quiet. God's saving these youngins. I'm going to tell you, it's getting in time, folks. Amen. It's getting in time, amen. Sawyer gets it at home, he gets it at school, and he gets it at church, amen. He gets the gospel every way he turns around. I'm just glad my grandson's ready to meet Papa in glory, ready to meet Jesus. It's different now. I want to give you several things in the message today, and I'm going to have to try to be brief. I was showing Brother Jason my notes this morning, and he said, man, that looks a whole lot better than it did last Sunday morning. Boy, you would have seen that mess I had in front of me last Sunday morning. Amen. I just got up and said, God, pick and choose. Amen. My heart was so full. Amen. I thank God for what He's doing. But listen, it's different now. Let me give you several things here just by way of introduction. And this will take a few minutes. There's a glorious salvation that's painted here in this text. You see, over in verse number 14, the Bible said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If the children, then heirs. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, we may also be glorified together. I believe there's a glorious salvation that brings about that glorious change where a person can say, it's different now. Amen. And Jesus is saving to the uttermost those who will believe. You could ask the Philippian jailer about that. Beloved, he went down there that night to the jail, and Paul and Silas at midnight, they were singing praises. God shook the jailhouse, opened the door. He sprang in with a light trembling because he thought the prisoners had got away. And beloved, he asked the question. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You say, Pastor, how come there's never been a change in my life? Maybe because you've never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and been saved, been born again. Because everybody that's been born again, the Bible said, beloved, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You remember in the temple, Peter and John, they went down to the temple. There was a lame man there begging alms. And Peter looked at him and said, look on me. Look on us. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The Bible said in Acts chapter 4 and verse 10, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which is set at naught of the builders, which has become the head of the corner." I love this. "Neither is there salvation in any other." Honey, you can look wherever you want to, but if you want a change in your life, you can only look to Jesus. There's no salvation outside of Jesus Christ. He's the one that said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." There's a glorious salvation that's pictured in Romans chapter number 8. There's a glorious justification. Look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 28 and following, that's pictured in Romans chapter 8. The Bible said, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." You're going through a low time in your life, going through a valley, going through a deep, dark valley. I'm going to tell you something right now. All you need to know is that you love God. If you love God, beloved, listen, it doesn't matter how deep the valley is or how dark the place is. You can know this, that your God's working all things together, amen, to the good of them that love God according to His purpose. In verse number 29, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to become conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified." I read this last night. I thought it was interesting. What is justification? It is the declared purpose of God to regard and treat those sinners who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as though they had never sinned. On the ground and the merits of the Savior, it is not a mere pardon. Pardon is a free forgiveness of past offenses. It has reference to those sins as forgiven and blotted out. Justification has respect to the law and to God's future dealings with the sinner. It is an act by which God determines to treat him hereafter as righteous, as if he had not sinned. The basis for this merit is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And beloved, in this merit he complete as if he were his own. He has taken our place and died in our stead. He has met the descending stroke of justice, which would have fallen on our heads if he had not interposed. I talked to Dustin yesterday on the phone. I tell you, what a blessing. He was here Wednesday night, and I asked him something about how he was doing, and here's how he responded: "Better than I deserve." I said, "Son, you was listening, wasn't you? Amen." He said, "Better than I deserve." I thank God, God's people, we've been justified. Amen. And when Christ looks at us, he don't see that old man. He sees Christ. Amen. And the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Father looks down and sees us, he sees us not, beloved, like we are, but worthy in Christ. He sees that new man that's been washed in the blood. That Sawyer talked about, "My heart is white as snow." Amen. And thank God it always will be, because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. The Word of God said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus." Listen, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be the just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Aren't you glad, beloved, it's Jesus that makes the difference? Amen. It's Jesus, beloved, is the one that's responsible for you and I being able to stand and say truthfully, it's different now since Jesus saved my soul. Amen. It's different now since He cleansed and He made me whole. I thank God this morning for that justification. And then there's not only that in the Scripture in Romans chapter 8. I'm still trying to give you just a little bit of introduction this morning. Not only is there a glorious salvation that's painted, the picture is painted, and a glorious justification, the picture is painted, but I want you to look at a glorious expectation. I'm telling you, beloved, for the children of God, the best is yet to come.
Honey, I'll tell you what's the truth. You ain't seen nothing yet. Amen. You just wait till our Lord and Savior splits that eastern sky, steps out on that cloud, and we hear Him say, come up hither. Amen. What a blessed day that's going to be. Look at Romans chapter number 8. He said, for I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that'll be revealed in us. I was talking to Sister Diana a while ago about the arthritis in my spine. One of my favorite lines in song, Brother Dale, is that sweet hour of prayer, that last verse there, this robe of flesh, I'll drop and rise to cease the everlasting pride, and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? I'm glad, thank God, this robe of flesh ain't going, amen. I'm glad I'll have a new body, one like unto the Son of God. I'm glad I expect that. The Bible teaches that. The glorification of God's children. Amen. Watch what he said in verse number 8 and verse 18. Chapter 8, verse 18. He said, I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that'll be revealed in us. For the earnest, look at this word, expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by means of him who have subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, that is to wit, the redemption of our body. I don't want to confuse you, but one old preacher said it like this. He said, I'm just two-thirds redeemed. In other words, my soul and my spirit has been redeemed. But thank God there's an old carcass I'm standing in this morning, this old body that's waiting, beloved, on the redemption, amen, that's going to take place when Jesus comes again, amen. I thank God for that, don't you? There's a glorious expectation. In the Psalm 17, David said, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. He said, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Every one of us knows what it is to be dissatisfied. Somebody say, amen. You get this or you get that or see this or see that. It don't satisfy, but I'll tell you, one day we're going to wake up. Hallelujah. We'll never be dissatisfied again. Amen. We're going to be just like the precious Son of God. And what a blessing that is. Isaiah said it like this. He said, you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? A glorious expectation. I expect it to happen just like God said it would. Amen. In the Word of God. And the Bible said here, instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. You see, this God's going to change this thing. Amen. And I praise God for that. Look at verse 6 of chapter 11 of Isaiah. The wolf also, listen to this, shall dwell with the lamb. And the leopard shall lie down with the kid. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. A little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. That serpent's there. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full. Hallelujah. Listen to this. The earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. Won't that be a blessed day for God's people? Amen. When Jesus, beloved, sets up His kingdom, amen, sets upon the throne of His father David, and He rules and He reigns for 1,000 years. I thank God. Listen, beloved, listen. I expect it to be just like the Bible said it would be in that day. Amen. There's a glorious salvation. There is a glorious, beloved, listen, a glorious justification. And there's a glorious expectation. Now let me give you the message in about 5 or 10 minutes. Beloved, in Romans chapter number 8, it's different now. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? First of all, I want to look at a phrase, no condemnation. Did you know the Bible, beloved, teaches us, if you'll look at John chapter number 3 for just a moment, turn there with me. I'd like for you to read it in the Word of God. John chapter 3 said, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. By the way, I'm going to go ahead and say something. If that verse don't do something for you, you need revival. I said, if that verse don't do something for you, you need revival. That God would love the world so much. I always put my name right there. He loved Rick so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Watch this now. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he believeth not in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. I'll tell you, I thank God there come a day in my life when I got tired of the darkness. I got tired, beloved, of the guilt. I got tired of the shame, and I came to Jesus, and there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. It didn't say to them that are in the Baptist church, or to them that do good, or to them that give an offering, or to them that get baptized. The Bible said there's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm glad I'm in Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation. One of the malefactors, Luke 23, one of those thieves which were hanged, railed on Him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost thou not fear God, seeing that we're in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I believe if you could have took Brother Jason just a moment right there and said to that thief, What about it? I believe that thief would have said, It's different now. Hallelujah. One moment in time made a difference in his life. Amen. That blind man met Jesus, received his physical sight, received a little bit later his spiritual sight. I believe he'd say, it's different now. That woman at the well, beloved, that talked with Jesus and found out, beloved, she came with a bucket and left with a well. That woman would tell you, it's different now. That woman taken in adultery. And Jesus said, Where are thine accusers? She said, I have none. He said, Neither do I condemn thee. I believe you could ask her and she'd say, It's different now. I believe you could ask the Apostle Paul. He's on his way down the road to Damascus to arrest some more of them Christians. And God knocked him off of his high horse. And he met the Lord Jesus there on the road to Damascus. And beloved, I believe you could ask him, What about it, Paul? He'd say, It's different now. God's turned my life around. Amen. Now I have a purpose that I didn't have before. I have the Lord in my heart. I have the Lord in my life. Beloved, there's no condemnation. Ain't that a blessing? That's the difference. It's different now. Amen. No condemnation. No condemnation. No condemnation. Now, if you'll look at chapter number 8, over towards the end of the chapter, I've seen these two things for years. Years ago, I saw these two things. But the last thing I'm going to give you, I just saw this week. There's no condemnation. In verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, Paul said, For thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37, he said, Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Look at verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I don't know about you this morning, but I like that part about no condemnation. But I'm also like that part about no separation. Amen. Beloved, listen, the Bible said He's going to go with me all the way, even to the end of the earth. I thank God I'm never going to be separated. There's nothing that can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You say, now, Pastor, if I believe that, man, I'd just go live it up. I'd just go, honey, I am living it up. Where you been? I just thought I was living it up in the world. Say amen. Amen. I'm so happy this morning. Amen. I've been happy all week. Amen. I've been happy ever since Jesus saved me, to be honest with you. Amen. Yes, there's burdens. But thank God, as Brother Graham said on the TV yesterday, there's joy on the inside. Amen. Even when the burdens are heavy on the outside. Watch this now. There's no condemnation and there's no separation. I believe both those things. But I'm going to tell you something. This kind of goes hand in hand with last Sunday. Turn in your Bibles to chapter 8. And I want to read verse 12. Verse 12 in chapter 8. There's no condemnation. We know that. There's no separation. We know that. You remember last week, I believe it was Romans chapter 6 where we were. Listen to the verse. Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Y'all remember that, right? Last week. Even so we should walk. We preached on the subject, the even so of Easter. Even so. If Christ lives in you, there ought to be a different walk. It ought to be different now. Amen. Watch this now. Look at verse 12. He said, therefore, brethren. Okay. What do you mean, therefore? Therefore. When you see the word therefore, you need to look and see what it's there for. God has done told us there's no condemnation. God has done told us there's no separation. God has done told us there's a glorious salvation, a glorious justification, a glorious expectation. Therefore, look at verse 12. Brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh. What? We're debtors, not to the flesh. I thank God, beloved, listen, to live after the flesh. I've heard songs down through the years. Songs like this. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I read verses in the Bible, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Listen to me carefully. Listen to this last word God gave me. If there's no condemnation and there's no separation, then there should be no hesitation in the life of the believer. The Bible tells us, beloved, let me see if I can get started. I'm going to have to have a little help to get started on the verse. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Beloved, we should not hesitate. If we've been to Calvary, we've been born again, our sins have been forgiven. Beloved, we've been saved by the grace of God. There's no condemnation in our life. That we know there's no separation in our life. There should be no hesitation in our life. We ought to just dedicate our life to the cause of Christ. Dedicate our life to the glory of God. The Bible said there, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Beloved, I want to say something. I believe if you and I'm not talking about now by faith. That's the way we have to do it now by faith. But I believe if you and I, in the physical sense, could walk up to Calvary and see him hanging there and see what took place, that we could get out from under this condemnation, that we could be saved. Brother Michael, I don't believe there'd be any hesitation. I believe we'd look at him. Oh my goodness, he's worthy of my life. He's not worthy of Halfway Boulevard. Someday I'm going to preach on that. I used to drive under it as I went up 81 to the prisons in Pennsylvania. I'm serious. You go out of West Virginia, you go into Maryland, and there's on the overhead pass it says Halfway Boulevard. Right there's where a lot of Christians live. On Halfway Boulevard. There's no condemnation and there's no separation, but there's still a hesitation. You're hanging on. Jesus said if you save your life, you'll lose it. But he said if you'll lose your life, if you'll just give it to him, you'll save it. Amen. I don't know about you. I don't know about you. David, I'm looking over at you. There have been times when you thought about quitting, ain't there? Are you glad this week you didn't quit? Say amen. Amen. I'm not just picking on you, David. Every one of us, there's been times in our life when we just felt like giving it up.
Amen.
But we went on. We went on. We went on. We didn't hesitate. We dedicated our life to the cause of Christ. This morning, beloved, it's different now. In my life, I can say there's no condemnation. I can say there's no separation. But I thank God this morning. I can say there's no hesitation. What have I got that He hasn't blessed me with, that He hasn't given me? Beloved, I want you to know this morning, knowing what Jesus has done for you, two things. If you're saved and you're not dedicated, don't hesitate. He's worthy. Somebody else's soul may be hanging in the balance while you're playing games. Playing around the fringes. Why don't you just get on in? The water's fine. Amen. Why don't you just jump in? Find you something to do for God. Amen. He said, well, I thought all the bases was covered. Honey, there's something for everybody to do in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Everybody. If you're here and you're saved and you're holding out on God, I'm praying this morning that that hesitation will be erased. If you're here this morning and you don't yet know Christ as Savior, I know how Slewfoot is. I know how he tries to hold back. I know how he tells you things. But let me tell you something about Slewfoot. Everything he tells you is a lie.
Amen.
That's all he knows how to do is lie.
Amen.
He's a father of a lie.
Amen.
I wish this morning that you wouldn't hesitate, but you'd just say yes to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you this morning. Thank you for the privilege to come into your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your people. Lord, I believe this morning with all of my heart, you're dealing with hearts. I pray, dear Father, that you'd speak to the heart of that Christian, Lord, that's living on Halfway Boulevard. I pray, God, you'd speak to the heart of that individual that needs to be saved. God, that they might come today and trust Jesus. Lord, there's a glorious salvation waiting upon those that will trust you as Lord and as Savior. Everyone look at me just a minute. I didn't understand why God wanted me to skip this a while ago, but I do now. Luke chapter 18 and verse number 9. And he spake this parable unto certain
which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and they despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and he prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. He said, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Bible said, I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. There was a man that came to himself and agreed with God. Brother Mitchell used to say it often, we need to take sides with God against ourselves and agree with God. If we'll do that, the Lord will save us. Let's stand to our feet this morning. If you're a Christian and you need this altar, I'm asking you to come. Beloved, if you're here this morning and you don't yet know the Lord, I'm asking you, if God's knocking at that heart's door, He's a gentleman, would you come?